Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 69th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Jorge Abiague. Jorge is a professional champion super bantamweight boxer. He was born in Las Tunas, Cuba, and moved to Maine, where he attended Portland High School and became involved in the Portland Boxing Club and has been boxing ever since. Now the only male boxer in the state of Maine to hold a national title. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Jorge.
Hello. Hello, everybody. How are you?
So glad to have you here. Thank you for coming in. So tell us about Las Tunas, Cuba. What was it like when you were a child there?
It was a little bit, you know. It was a little bit rough, you know.
Rough?
Yeah, a little bit rough, yeah.
Yeah?
Going up over there.
Yeah. What kind of things happen in Las Tunas? In the pictures, it looks maybe like a little bit of a tourist area.
Yeah, right now, yeah, it is. You know. But back, you know, back when I was, it was a little bit rough.
Was it a tourist area when you were a kid?
Not really, no.
No? Who are the tourists there? I know they're not Americans.
Yeah, they're like American, like Italian, you know. Other countries, yeah.
Europeans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I was in Canada, I saw a billboard, fly to Cuba for so many dollars. So maybe Canadians, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Canadian, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. When you were a kid, were they still raising sugarcane?
Yes. That's, yeah, yeah.
Do you think they still raise any sugarcane there?
I think so. I haven't been back since, but I think so.
So you left as a kid?
Yeah.
What year did you arrive here?
1997. Yes.
Right. So when you were a child, did you ever imagine you might become a boxer when you were an adult?
Well, I learned how to box as a little kid in Cuba. But I never thought I was going to, you know, come to the United States, you know, and fight as a professional. You know, so.
Did they have a boxing program in the schools when you were a kid?
Yeah, yeah.
How old are you when you start that?
I was like 10 years old, yeah.
I had no idea what a big deal boxing is in Cuba until I started looking into it.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Do you think baseball is more popular or boxing in Cuba?
I think baseball. Baseball is more popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that there are 81 Olympic-trained boxers in Cuba, but they can only send 12 to an Olympic Games.
Yeah.
So this is a really fertile program.
Yeah.
What is it about boxing in Cuba? Why did that take off there, do you think?
I think that's a way, you know, that's a way to make it, you know. Like, become a boxer, you know.
You make it big.
Yeah, make it big, yeah.
And be famous, kind of.
Be famous,
right?
Yeah.
But there's no professional sports.
No. All you think is the gold medal around your neck, you know. Yeah. It's a little kid that, you know, I was like, 10 years old, all I think it was like, you know, gold medal, you know. But that dream didn't happen for me, you know, so.
No, because you left too young.
I left too young, you know,
yeah.
So,
what do you think of the recent opening of the Cuban-American embassies this past week?
Oh, I think that's a great team, you know. I think that should have happened a long time ago, you know, for all the Cuban people, you know, so.
What will it mean to people in Las Tunas to have an embassy and open relations with the U.S. now?
I think it's great. It's great, you know. It meant a lot to them, you know, for them, you know.
Yeah, there are 11 million Cubans, and if I recall, there are 1 million Cubans in Miami.
Miami, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think some of those Cubans in Miami will return to Cuba?
Not now, probably, you know. Maybe later on, you know. Not now. Not at the moment, you know.
Do you hope to go back at some point?
I don't know. I spent a lot of years in USA now, you know. This is my home now, you know. So I don't know. I mean, there's nothing like home, but I think this is my home now. So.
Well, if you're ever gonna feel like you're in Cuba, today is a good day.
Yeah.
It's something like 85 and humid. Approaching August, Cuba. Yeah. Though I think it's even hotter in Cuba, isn't it?
Super hot.
Yeah. So how old were you when you left?
I was like 17 or so.
Yeah. Oh, 17.
Yeah, 17.
So you came to Portland High School just for a short time.
Yeah, yes.
Ah. What were your first few years like when you came and became a Mainer after being a Cuban?
I was just a kid, you know. I did a lot of thinking about Cuba, you know. I was kind of like a little bit homesick, you know.
Yeah. Sure. What kinds of things did you miss from Cuba as a teenager?
I miss my family, my mom, friends, you know, just hanging out, you know, stuff like that.
And the culture is quite different, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, quite different, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have people when you came to Portland High School that were Spanish speakers that you could fall in comfortably with?
Well, two of my best friends, they're like kind of like a brother to me, you know, they speak Spanish, so they kind of like help me out. They knew English a little, so they kind of helped me out, you know.
And were they also from Cuba? Or?
They're from Cuba, yeah.
Really?
It's like my brothers, you know. Yeah.
Is there a big Cuban community here in Portland?
No.
You just found each other.
Yeah.
It's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
So when you were a kid, what made you want to box? And how did you find your way to the Portland Boxing Club in 2003?
One of the guys that I grew up with, you know, he mentioned like the Portland Boxing Club. When I came to Maine and I went to Portland High, I wanted to join boxing again, but they didn't have no boxing program. They had like wrestling, and I wasn't into that, you know. So I kind of like, you know, waited, you know, hang out, you know, do other stuff. And one day, one of them mentioned like he's going to the Portland Boxing Club. Okay, I'll go with you, man. I know how to do that. I show him how to fight, you know, in the backyard, you know. So he said I was gonna go, so I went, and they, you know, I was the best, you know, one of those happiest days of my life, you know. Get kind to of, box again, yeah.
Right, there's some of the home.
I went home
all
excited, you know. Told my girlfriend, wow, I'm gonna box again. So like, you know, I was real excited. Yeah.
What did she think of that?
Well, she was like, oh, okay, fine. She didn't care.
Was she from Maine?
Yeah, she's from Maine, yeah.
So she's not as familiar with the culture of boxing, probably,
as a Cuban
might be.
No.
Right?
No, she wasn't.
Has she come to accept that? Is this still your partner?
No.
Oh, that was just a high school girl.
High school or something, yeah.
So, if you're just listening, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to WMPG. This is Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this show is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Jorge Abiague. Jorge is a champion professional super bantamweight boxer, weighing at 122 pounds, 5'2", and he's been boxing for the past 12 years. Jorge, I just want to open it up to you and have you tell us about your professional boxing career, about your style, your record, your levels you've gone through, and whatever you'd like to tell us.
Well, as an amateur, you know, I boxed through a national level. That's a big, you know, commitment, you know. I won the national OA and OA. And the only, like you said, the only man in the history to ever done that.
In the history of the state of Maine,
yeah,
you're the only man to hold a national title.
Yeah.
The only wow.
Man, yeah.
And here I am in the studio with you today.
Yeah.
Rubbing elbows.
Yeah.
So that was when you were an amateur.
Amateur, yeah.
Uh-huh.
112 pounds, yeah.
And 2008, you said?
2008, yeah. Okay. I won the national. Yeah.
What happened after that?
I turned professional, and then I stayed professional ever since, you know.
And how do you turn professional? You've been boxing in a club, and how do you make the change?
Well, you want to kill like a lot of amateur fights, you know, win, you know, titles and stuff like that, you know.
Get a good record going.
Get a good record, like, you know.
And what was your amateur record like?
It was, I got 41 fight, and I got like 7 losses. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a profound winning record.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. And then How long have you been professional then?
Since 2008, yeah.
And how many fights have you had as a professional?
10 fights. Yeah, 9 wins and 1 loss. Yeah.
Wow. Are you a righty?
Yeah, I'm right-handed, but I can switch it up, you know. I can fight southpaw, you know.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite moves that you do? Like a trademark move?
All kind of move. I have the whole package, you know. And the whole package, you know, so.
I noticed that a lot of boxers have a nickname.
Yeah.
Do you have any nicknames?
Yes, I do.
What's your nickname?
Mantequilla. I mean, less small as butter. So yeah.
A small batter?
No, smooth. It's more like butter.
Oh, yeah. Smooth like butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's great. And how about your level? Have you changed levels as you've changed sizes over time? How does that work?
Change
sizes? You had said that you used to box at a lighter weight.
Yeah, as an amateur, I fought flyweight, that's 112 pounds. And when I turned professional, I went to super flyweight, 115 pounds. And then I keep, you know, going up, you know.
When you say super, is that always professional? Does that mean that you're professional?
Yeah, super, yeah.
So if you're flyweight, you're amateur.
Yeah,
and
amateur.
If you're super flyweight,
yeah,
then you're professional.
Professional.
I
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And plus, super fly is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So have you ever been scared to go into a fight beforehand?
Well, my debut was a little bit scary, you know, because a whole different, you know. You went from the amateur to a professional. So I was not scared, but just I don't know if you call it scary, you know, but I was kind of like a little worried, you know. There was no headgear, you know, so I didn't know what's going to happen, you know. So anything can happen in boxing, you know.
So you're a little frightened for your health.
Yeah.
For your safety.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that. So that's a difference between amateur and professional?
Yes,
no headgear
no
for
headgear,
the professionals.
Yeah.
Hmm. And did it turn out to be quite different, or did you start to feel the same way when you were in
same
the
way,
fight?
It couldn't touch me. So I kind of like this. You
know? Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it couldn't touch me. Yeah, so.
It's because you're like butter.
Yeah.
Smooth as butter.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. How about after a fight? Have you ever been scared that you're not okay, that you did get injured?
No. I was thinking, you know, positive, you know, so.
You are a positive thinker. That's
a
great asset.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that how you mentally calm yourself before the fight? Tell me if you have any rituals around preparation for a fight.
Come on.
How do you get ready for a fight? Do you have something you do every time to help calm yourself?
Yeah, just like the main thing is, you know, try to relax yourself, you know. So that's what I do, you know, try to relax myself, hang out with my family, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Laugh,
you know.
Play.
Hang out with my kids, you know.
Yeah. Tell us about your family.
My family is great, you know, just my daughters, you know, my other kids, you know, just like, it's great, you know, everything's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and your wife have been together for a long time.
Yeah. Almost 11 years.
Great.
Yeah.
And so then the two of you have two daughters?
Yeah, two daughters.
And then you have some stepchildren as well.
Stepchildren, yeah.
So you've been parenting for a long time.
A long time, yeah.
You just stepped right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about your boxing sons.
Oh, they pretty good.
How old are they?
Of 16 and 11.
Do they box at the Portland Boxing
Club
too?
Yeah.
Right, so they're coming along.
Yeah.
Super. So, what do you consider the best fight of your life?
My best?
Your best fight, where you were on top of your game.
I think when I went to the National, yeah. When I won the... It was... I think that was one, you know, one of the... One of my best moments, you know, I won that. Because nobody expect me to win that. Especially coming from like a small town like this, you know.
Yeah, you were the underdog?
Yeah.
Where was that?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
In Michigan.
Yeah.
And so, big surprise, here comes Jorge.
Yeah.
And was it a decisive victory?
And these were like, some people, they won't know. The guy was supposed to face in the final. He was knocking everybody out. So it was kind of like, you know, I had to prepare myself, like, mentally, you know, physically, you know, like, because he was taking people out, like, wow, you know, so.
I think that would be terrifying.
Yeah, we were in the semifinals, and he knocked his guy out, so, like, wow, you know. So I had to get ready the next day for him, you know, knowing that he might knock me out, too. And, you know, it was one of the best, but the easiest fight ever.
That's exciting when you have an upset like that, I bet.
Yeah.
Have you been knocked out?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to either.
No, never, even in practice? Or
No.
Wow. No. How do you avoid that?
Just keep moving your head, you know, keep, you know, training hard, you know.
What is the training like?
Training is tough.
We've seen the boxing movies, so it looks pretty serious. Do you jump rope?
Jump rope, run, push-ups, everything.
How many hours a day do you think you train as a professional boxer?
I train like 4 hours. 4 hours in the gym, not including the running and stuff, you know.
So 4 hours plus running, or the 4 hours includes the running?
Yeah, just the whole training in the gym is like 4 hours.
Wow.
And the running is a whole different section, you know, so.
And then being a professional boxer probably doesn't support your family, does it? Do you also have to have a day job?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were in Cuba, would that be true? Would you be supported by the state if you were a professional boxer in Cuba or professional level?
Oh, yeah. The state, you'd be supported by the state, you know.
Right. Yeah. But here you get to also have another job.
Yeah, I have to work.
What are your long-term dreams with boxing? When you retire, you hope to go out as what?
So, world champion.
World champion?
World champion. That's my dream. World champion.
Bantamweight.
Yeah.
Where are world championships held for boxing?
Oh, many states, you know. It could happen right here, you know.
Right here in Maine?
Right here in Maine, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are chances to see people boxing in Maine. Can you tell us about the event that's coming up in November? Isn't there a big fight coming up in November?
Yeah, and we got another show coming.
It's a show?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then I think it was something like November 14th or...
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And what could people expect to see if they were to... Is it at the Expo?
At the Expo, yeah.
Okay, so if you were to head on to the Expo on November 14th, what would you see and find there?
What would I see?
What would someone like me, if I were to go, what would I expect?
Oh, a great fight. A great fight.
Mm-hmm.
People won't be disappointed, you know.
Is it just one fight, or do you fight each level? Do people fight at every level?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if I went to an evening at the Expo, I might see 10 fights or something
fights,
like that?
10 fights, you know, 8 fights, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they're all good fights, you know.
Is there anything else? Face painting, bouncy houses? Or is there anything else that goes with a night at the boxing arena? Or is it just pure fighting that night?
Just pure fighting. You get to meet celebrity, you know, one of heavyweights, you know.
Oh, and get signatures and things like that?
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Oh, who are some of the big names that have come through?
Buster Douglas. We have Reedy Bolt. We have few people. Michael Spinks. We have like
Michael Spinks came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roberto Duran, you know, from Panama. Yeah. Holyfield.
Evander Holyfield
came.
Yeah,
Evander Holyfield.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, Holyfield was here like two, like the last event. I think it was like 2 events ago. He was here. Yeah.
Wow. So, you wanted to talk a little bit about bullying in the schools. When we talked the first time when I met you, I wondered if you had anything you wanted to say about that.
Well, like I don't really, you know, like the bullying, you know, all the stuff, you know. I show my kid how to, you know, how to box and all that, but I also tell them, you know, bullying is not okay, you know. I'm not okay with that, so I do not like that at all, you know.
You don't want them to use their skills aggressively.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also tell them, you know, if you see something like that, you know, just try to stop it, you know, find someone, you know, like at school, especially at school, because this like the whole bullying is like pretty much at school, you know. So I try to tell them, you know, to stop that or find someone, you know, to stop that, you know.
It's great advice. That's what they say, you know, if the people watching were to stop it right there, probably the most effective place. But sometimes that's really scary, so you really should get some help from the adults.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you think if your girls went into boxing?
I don't know.
The other people with national titles in the state are both women.
Yes. I mean, I think I'll be fine with that, but I don't know. If it is something that they want to do, I'll definitely support it, like, 100%, you know.
Yeah. That would be probably trickier.
Yeah.
Right? Knowing what it takes and having been on the receiving end to know your daughters might do that.
We'll see.
What do you think your wife would think?
I don't know.
What does she think of
boxing? She gets nervous, you know, when we fight, you know, so I don't know. That'll be, like, something, I don't know. She would get real nervous. When I fight, she get nervous.
Oh, sure.
When the other kids fight, she get more nervous. So I don't know. I guess we have to see.
Yeah. How does she prepare for one of your fights?
She always, like, tell me to be careful, you know, make sure you don't get hurt, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Can she watch? Does she come and watch?
She watched, but like, she watched and she became part of the show. She's in the corner screaming, you know, do this, do that, you know. I can hear her, like, in the background, you know.
Is that comforting to hear a voice you
know? Yeah, definitely. You always want to, you know, support from your family, you know, your teammates, you know, your coach, you know. Yeah.
Who do you think's made the most difference to you in your boxing career? Is there anybody that has changed your life as a boxer?
Oh, yeah. Bob Russo.
And can you tell us who he is and what
Bob
he did?
Bob Russo is my trainer, you know, and he's been good to me, you know. He opened the door, you know, to the Poland Boxing Club to me, and I'm grateful for that, you know.
He says you're a very hard worker.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Actually, Skip Neal, you know, he helped me out, too. This is one of the assistant coach. He helped me out.
For interested listeners, I'll put a link to the Portland Boxing Club on the New Mainers Speak site after this if you want to look and see the program that they're running there. It's a very comprehensive program.
Yes.
He's been there for a long time.
A long time.
I forget how many years he said, 23 years or something?
20-something years.
Yeah. He's been there. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
And he's been helping kids,
some kids,
very tough stories to stand up for themselves and be strong physically and make a difference in people's lives. He said you fight with a passion, and I wondered, is there someone or something that motivates you to fight as hard as you do and to train as hard as you do? What keeps you going?
Well, my kid, you know, my family, you know. I fought, you know, I do more like for me, you know, because I want to do this, you know.
You have that little shiny medal in your mind from when you were a kid?
Yes.
You'd like that gold medal on the chest?
Yep.
I can't blame you. It's enticing. We humans like shiny things.
Yeah.
Jorge, you are such a hardworking and driven boxer, and also such a kind and understated person at the same time. Thank you for coming on New Mainers Speak today to share some of your story.
You're welcome.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Jorge Abiague. We will close today's program with a song he's chosen for us. And I wondered, Jorge, if you would introduce your song to listeners. What made you choose the song?
Gente de Zona, El Animal.
And why did you pick this one over all the other songs in the world?
This is like I'm going to a fight, you know, so I like this song, you know.
This song kind of gets you pumped up before a fight?
Yeah, for the fight, yes. Yeah.
All right, great. Thank you.
¿Sabes quién es gente de zona?
¿Sabes?
¿Sabes qué tienes que hacer para ser como gente de zona? Es imposible.
Seguro.
Porque simplemente tienes que saber qué es la calle.
Claro.
Tienes que tener conocimiento de lo que es vivir en un barrio humilde. Tienes que tener conocimiento de lo que es vivir en un barrio humilde. Tienes que aprender a relacionarte con la gente.
Claro.
Y tener presente que nosotros mismos somos la gente. Mano para arriba, búho, gente de zona. Forever y Alex Sande.
Mano para arriba.
Te falta corazón, te falta melodía.